You're listening to The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back live, 12:30 a.m. on your dial, 12:30am.com. If you're streaming and dreaming, and I'll get the mobile app. Hey, right here, WBOK social media. And let's not forget about the beef hotline, y'all. Let's have a peaceful holiday season. First of all, for the family of the woman who was run over, man, a carjacking, man, such tragedy. Tragic any time of the year, but definitely some of the violence that's going on in our community, man. It seemed like we had a little lull in it. But it seems like the fools are kind of ramping it up. Again, let's have safe, peaceful holidays. And I tell folk all the time, the best way to ensure that there's peace is for each of us to take an oath and some action to be more peaceful. If we all are our more peaceful selves, then we live in and ultimately live in a more peaceful society. So for let's put an end to this violence, but let's put an end to a lot of the violence and a lot of the hate and a lot of the anger that happens in our own minds and our hearts. If you need help doing that, call the Beef Hotline at 504-500-1706, 504-500-1706. And let's not forget United Our Healthcare, quality, affordable coverage, helping people figure out Medicaid, Medicare. They, man, that dual relationship, there may be some opportunities there. Edmund Anderson, man, Bone, God bless you, man, did a great job on the show yesterday, brother, out in California, trying to help the fire victims out there. But joining me in the studio right now is my comrade, my partner, my little brother, Mr. Think504.com, making us think, Jeff Thomas. Welcome back to the Good Morning Show.
Oliver, thank you for having me this morning. We have a lot to talk about, and I'm looking forward to sharing with your audience. Thanks for the opportunity. Yeah,
man, but let's get right to it. What was the Saints drinking last night? Well, first of all, what was Drew Brees drinking, or what did Jerry put in his Gatorade?
Drew was definitely uncomfortable last night. Let me tell you.
but he was throwing the ball with people. If and you know, people, somebody if at you, they if at you.
He was uncomfortable. He's sometimes used to standing. Listen, yeah, he got sacked. He's the least sacked quarterback in the league.
Right.
Last night he had, and he normally doesn't get pressure. The line play all year. That's why the Saints are 10-2 now.
Absolutely.
Because the line had been protecting Drew Brees. I mean, he only had, I think, what, 4 sacks on the season? Something like some crazy number. All year, he's able to sit back in the pocket, step up in the pocket, and throw the ball, fire to an open receiver.
He wasn't stepping up.
Well, that's the problem, because what Dallas did was bring pressure up the middle. And so the center and the two guards had terrible games last night. And because of that up-the-middle pressure, Drew Brees was uncomfortable. Typically, you see Brees drop back in the pocket.
Typically, it's cool Brees.
Yeah, exactly right. And those guys around the wing are firing up at him, and he just steps up one or two steps into the pocket.
Right.
Comfortable, nobody in his face. He's short, and the guards in the centers have that space open for him.
Well, let me say this to you.
Last night, he had people in his face.
Let me say this to you, Jeff Conner.
Tell me.
I'm going to look at him like he's short now. All right? I'm gonna look at.
He's barely 6 feet.
I'll leave by 5'2.5" the way he played last night because
he did not have a great game. He had a terrible game. It's the worst game of the season. But let me tell you why it was the worst game of the season. It's the worst game of the Saints season. But because at the end of the game, even though they played poorly, even though Dallas had the
perfect game, they
could have won.
Still.
He had an opportunity to have a patented
Dallas played their Super Bowl.
Exactly right. Dallas was amped up. Dallas needed this game way more than the Saints, so they had a lot more on the line. But still, the Saints had an opportunity to win.
Well, let me tell you why I'm all discombobulated about it, because I'm not a fanatic.
I get it.
I'm a fan.
Me too.
I understand the realities
of
sports.
Love the Saints, right?
They got folk here that'll put their children out the house.
Yeah.
And adopt a Saints player.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. So I understand all that, right?
That's right.
But I don't like the Falcons or the Cowgirls. I don't like Dirty Birds. I don't like Cowgirls.
A lot of people hate the Cowboys. I get it.
It's not America's team.
Right.
To me,
I get it.
I just don't like Jerry Jones.
So it stinks for you.
You know
it
me,
for
I don't use the word dislike a lot.
Right. I get it. That's right.
But I don't want Atlanta to win in tiddlywinks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want Dallas to win pitch to the line.
Right.
I'm glad they haven't won a Super Bowl in a long, long time.
Well, let me just tell you this. You possibly you might get the opportunity for revenge. If the playoffs started today, the Saints and Dallas would be on the same side of the bracket, and they might meet here in New Orleans for a rematch of last night's game.
Okay, all right.
So,
all
but right. Listen, here's the thing for me that's important about the loss, and that is the dropping below the Rams. Some stats are important. Let me tell you the stat that's most important.
I agree.
No dome team has ever won the Super Bowl.
If it didn't go through the dome.
If it didn't have home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
Right.
Never happened in the history of the NFL. This year, and that's because typically dome teams don't play well in cold weather.
Right.
But this year, if the Rams hold serve, which I believe they will, because they have a much weaker schedule than
Absolutely.
The Saints. Saints may lose another game or two. I mean, they got Carolina twice. I think they'll split with them. That Pittsburgh game is up in the air. Pittsburgh's
got to win now, but that's after losing another day.
Exactly right. So they're going to be motivated, but so will the Saints. The Saints don't want to drop below the 2 seed. It's going to be hard for them to do that, but they definitely want to keep that 2nd seed. Now, if they keep that 2nd seed and they win their first playoff game, the Rams win their first playoff game, they'll meet in L.A.
Sunny California.
So, you know, this will be the rematch, to me, of the best game of the year, which was the Saints and the Rams. And that game could change history. The Saints could make history. I tell you, this loss wasn't so bad in the grand scheme of things. I think the Saints see where their weaknesses are. When you're 10-1 and you're like, they were like Mike Tyson. They were just scaring people.
Well, Dallas played the best they could play
absolutely,
and still should have lost. The Saints played their worst game and still should have won.
Could have, should have, would have.
Still could have won.
Yeah, that's right. They could have, should have, would have. But the thing about it is this sets them up to change history in another way, to set another record, maybe meaningless, but that a dome team goes on the road and goes to the Super Bowl. And I think the Saints can do that.
I just don't like they wear their chaps. They dance around.
Not that many cowboy players that I like in history. I like Tony Dorsett. I like Hollywood Henderson.
I like
some of their players.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Saints, they have an opportunity still. They have an opportunity to 10-2, the season's not over. Certainly, it exposed some of the weaknesses of the Saints. I think Unger, Pete, and Wofford had a horrible game, and their games. That their play was worse than what happened with Drew Brees and Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas uncharacteristically dropped some passes.
Yeah, Kamara looked like his nose ring was off or too tight.
Exactly. He didn't break off those
couldn't
long
breathe.
Runs. Right, exactly right. They had a bad game.
Okay, all right.
But I think they'll be okay, and I think they can still win the Super Bowl. I think that it's going to be tougher. It would have been much easier had they been able to maintain home field advantage.
Well, let me say this.
Last night.
Look. Lord knows we need a Super Bowl,
right?
We needed one after Katrina.
Drew Brees certainly does.
We got one.
Mm-hmm.
I think Brees, to cement himself, needs multiple, especially with the year he's having. I think it etches him right up there, arguably, top 1, 2, or 3, or however you want to do it. But this city needs a Super Bowl.
Mm.
Our infrastructure falling apart, pipes, neighborhoods. You're scared if it rains.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, we need some relief, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of brings
us
to
– transition. You are so smooth, but you are the best in the business. I love this guy.
No.
You are a bad man. This guy. We were talking about the Saints. Now, all of a sudden, we're talking about sewage and waterboard and infrastructure.
We need the teams to do well.
We do.
To give us the type of relief we need from our infrastructure falling apart.
Okay, let me just tell you this, OT. I'm glad you said this because this eats at my craw. Let me tell you, I don't care if we get a million Super Bowls, we get a Super Bowl every year. It's not going to affect your bottom line and my bottom line, by and large. You know, all that economic impact jazz, foolishness, that goes to the state of Louisiana primarily. Most of that money, very little of that money stays in the hands of the people that you and I know.
There is hardly any trickle down.
Right. You know, you get a few tips and that kind of stuff, a few more tips for a day or two or three or four, but that's it.
Jeff Thomas, and for our listening audience on Facebook Live and those folk out there listening, 1230am.com, 504-260-9265. I know we were segueing from the Saints, Super Bowl, some relief for our failing infrastructure. But the point that you just made is a really prominent, profound, and very important one. And we've talked about it here on the show before and so often.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to tout the economic windfall from the Saints winning and what it does for the state and the city economically.
Right.
We just released that this very successful Bayou Classic, what it did for the state and the city economically.
Mm.
We had the most successful Essence ever. Sugar Bowl looks like it's in line to get some top teams out the top six for the Sugar Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then the national championship game is here in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to roll in the Mardi Gras. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to roll in the Jazz Fest. Mm-hmm. And back through the cycle again. The tourism projections right now are through the roof. The convention business is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Convention Center sitting on $250 million and growing right now.
Yes.
But the disparities.
Yes. Thank you.
Yet the disparities.
Yes. The reality of the city is, the situation is this. None of those things help the common man. None of those things put money in you and I pocket.
Right.
It just doesn't trickle down. And so this is part of the narrative. This is part of the boondoggle. This is part of the trickery, the scheme to siphon money.
Trickery?
The state siphons money out of the state of the city of New Orleans and funnels it around the city, around the state. I mean, what happens is it's a tax scheme. The tax scheme is to bring tourism. We got low wage. We got people who working their butts off, working their tails off, doing great work,
mm-hmm.
By and large, and making non-living wages.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the money, the tax money, is siphoned out of New Orleans.
Where does it go?
It goes into
Jeff
the
Thomas.
State.
I know a little bit about where it goes, but you help our listening audience. And guys, this is why it's so important. And we're going somewhere. We're going to talk about sewage and water, but we're going to talk about budget. We're going to talk about the governor's reluctance to support the mayor. And this is all part of that.
Absolutely.
This revenue is generated in this city. And I've talked about this on the show before. Why wouldn't our leaders at least begin to talk about how that revenue that's generated, let me use the council member's words again.
It's sustainable.
How that revenue that's generated ensures effective, efficient and sustainable programs that improve our quality of life.
Right. Listen, it's the state of Louisiana is a tax scheme. The city of New Orleans is a part of the scheme. And what that does is we got this tourist mecca. People come from all over the world. Our people toil and drudgery oftentimes at minimum wage. And the money, I mean, we send up, for every dollar that we send to the state that we collect, we pass through, we keep about 15 cents of it. 15 cents of it. So the majority of the tax money that's generated in here, that hardworking New Orleanians help create, that we provide. Now, let me just say, we being the city of New Orleans, which is a municipality in the state of Louisiana.
Absolutely.
But we are funded, we are funded internally. Mm-hmm. We provide EMS. We provide police. We provide sewage and water board.
Fire.
We provide everything. We provide all of the services to support.
Traffic lighting system.
To support
road
this
maintenance.
Great, you can name them on. The list goes on and on. The point is that we provide millions and millions and millions of dollars in services to tourism. But the money that and then millions and millions of dollars that are generated in tourism, most of it goes to the state of Louisiana. So we're funding places in rural Louisiana. We're funding the state police primarily, I gotta tell you.
Yeah.
The state police, most of the money for the state police is generated in the city of New Orleans. And so they're traveling the highways all over the state of Louisiana. Based on our money.
Traversing.
Thank you for saying that. That's a great way. Great word. I love it. The fact is that the state of Louisiana has a tax scheme that does not benefit the citizens of the city of New Orleans. And our mayor just recently has tried to get some of that money back.
That was the right thing to do. It was a bold move. And that's one thing. You know, my commentary supported that. I gave a history, a little institutional knowledge, perspective on that. You know, and even to give a little more perspective, is that the state locked up the city years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if anything, our legislators need to do is talk about how we free us up from some of these state mandates, especially when we talk about the criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of this revenue sharing that ought to happen. Now, Jeff, why can you say what you just said? And for those who are listening out there, we know we have a lot of tourism and business leaders who listen to the show.
Okay,
This is why Jeff can say what he says. Doc, I know you're listening. And this is why I can say what I'm saying. It's because we're having all of these banner years, these banner events, these banner festivals. And the disparities, and the gap in disparities, the gaps in earnings.
Are growing.
And what did the council member say? Effective, efficient, sustainable quality of life. The quality of life, based on the Brookings Institute, has said that it's steadily declined over the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I know one of your big sponsors is the tourism industry.
Yeah.
And I don't want to step on their toes. Your toes and their toes. I don't want a repeat of what happened with Entergy the last time I was on, but we're not going to go there anymore. But I'll say this. I think it's incumbent upon the tourism industry to ensure that more money stays here in the city of New Orleans.
Absolutely.
It is incumbent here, but here's part of the problem. You have the sports people who bring in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have a huge budget. A huge part of the tourism mm-hmm. money goes directly to them. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about how they can do things to improve the quality of life in the city of New Orleans. How can they bring in people? They can have internships with high schools.
Absolutely.
And bring them in. They can have internships with Xavier and Dillard and bring those
kids
in.
They could fund some of these recreation programs
and underwrite
North Sea.
Absolutely, positively. But instead, what they do is they use all of their dollars for these monumental.
They're bigwigs. They do the bigwigs.
Exactly right. So they go after a Super Bowl every
cocktail parties,
7 years,
receptions,
8 years.
And they travel.
Exactly. And it's important because they bring in a Super Bowl, which brings in all of this economic impact, which we never see.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we've got to change this paradigm. We've got to change the dynamics. We've got to shift these resources. The resources that are generated in the city of New Orleans, more of it needs to stay in the city of New Orleans. And so I think the part of the problem is that we have a governor who is taking our vote for granted. I mean, the governor's race is coming up. Before you know it, we're going to be talking about who's running against John Bell. Is John Kennedy? He's going to announce on Monday that he's running for governor.
And are you saying that the governor's saying that we have nowhere else to go?
I think the governor thinks that. I think the governor is taking us for granted. And I wrote an article, and I think people should go to Think 504, and it talks about why New Orleans voters should abandon the governor. We shouldn't vote for him unless he changes. And this is an effort to put pressure on the governor to take care
why is
of
the
citizens.
So, why is he so reluctant to support the mayor? The mayor is only saying that, hey, look, give us a percentage of these tourism dollars that are created so we can help fix the infrastructure that supports the tourism industry.
Exactly.
It would seem like, they would have some pause to think about it before just say flat out, no, I can't support that,
right.
Especially in the city that – that supports him.
Exactly.
I didn't understand. Have you figured out why he would say so quickly no, especially given the fact what the mayor has said, we'll use that money to help at least in the, we'll underwrite, we'll fix the infrastructure downtown. We'll work to get out of the consent decree with one of the basins of downtown. Why would he say no so quickly?
I'm not sure about that, but I'll say it's particularly egregious when you talk about the Sewage and Water Board. Because what is the Sewage and Water Board? You served on it, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
You were president of it, weren't you?
No, I wasn't the president. No, I was chairman of the pension committee.
That's what it was.
And I was the council member at large.
Representative,
yeah.
That's right.
When we used to have
three
council members.
Three of them. Let's talk a little bit about the history of the Sewage and Water Board. Where does the Sewage and Water Board come from? Why does it exist?
It initially comes from what was called the drainage. The name of it was drainage something back in the years when it was created to deal with.
Well, who created it?
The state of Louisiana.
The state of Louisiana created the Sewage and Water Board.
Yes.
So it is a creation of the state. It's a mandate of the state of Louisiana. Mm-hmm. It's a part of the law.
Right.
We have to have a sewage and water board.
Yes.
Okay? It's required.
Yeah,
exactly right. And so from 1899 to 2013, mm-hmm. the structure of the Sewage and Water Board was the mayor and three city council people
right.
served on the board.
Correct.
Right? And then there was also two members from the Board of Liquidation,
mm-hmm.
and then the rest was appointees of the mayor.
Community appointees,
right?
Correct.
And that's been the structure. That was the structure from 1899 to 2013.
Right.
That was a long time. I don't know. You do the math. I don't know. Lee's in there with his calculated brain. He can probably figure it. That's over
Absolutely.
100 years, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Right. And so, but then what happened was, we had the bedazzlingly incompetent, that's one of the mm-hmm. phrases that I use for our former mayor, mm-hmm. Mitch Landrieu, mm-hmm. who is seriously talking about running mm-hmm. for governor, mayor, president.
President, yes.
I heard you and Jacques talking about that, didn't
yes.
you? Right. But bedazzlingly incompetent is what I like to is how I like to describe him. Boy, he can talk. He can talk. And he can twist some words around. He can make you think the world is not raining outside and you're in a thunderstorm. But
Jeff Thomas, but making us think.
But you know, he wanted to change. Part of the problem was this: that structure over time led to some underfunding of the Sewage and Water Board, because it's hard for city council people. Did you ever vote to increase the rates while you served on the Sewage and Water Board?
I don't think I did.
Exactly right, because it's hard for an elected official to vote to increase the rates on people of the Sewage and Water Board. And so for years, getting money into the Sewage and Water Board was politically tied because there was the mayor and the three city council people.
Yes, you have people fighting for the citizens there.
Exactly right. People looking out for sewage, for rates not going out the roof. So, but because of that, the Sewage and Water Board was underfunded for years. It had problems maintaining itself. If there would be a time if they didn't collect, if you didn't pay your bill, the Sewage and Water Board might have to turn off everybody's water. I mean, it teetered for years. And so they restructured the Sewage and Water Board to take away the political oversight. The thinking was this: let's take away this political oversight, and therefore we can have people who won't be so concerned about raising rates. And so they changed the structure from the mayor, the two and 10 appointees of the mayor. So the Sewage and Water Board has 11 people on it. And it went from
mayor stayed. They kicked the council members. They kicked the citizens' representatives off.
The city council members off. That's correct. And so, but now they structured it in a way that there were appointees. They came up with this blue ribbon commission, and they were good, hardworking, honest people who came up with appointees that they made recommendations to the mayor, and the mayor paid in all these citizens' people. But then let's fast forward to a couple of years ago when we had all this flooding. I mean, it rained, and the Sewage and Water Board was evidently broken.
Pumps weren't working.
Pumps weren't working. We had, and then people had no idea. People, you know, we had a guy on there saying, yeah, 100% of the pumps that are available are working, so, and, but, you know, but 20 of the pumps weren't available, but 100% of the two pumps were working. So we had two pumps working. But
and only one and a half generators.
Exactly right. And so we didn't have any real understanding of what was happening internally at the Sewage and Water Board. Because we had this new structure. We had the mayor and we had 10 appointees. There were no city council people overlooking the day-to-day workings of the Sewage and Water Board.
I want to add to that because I want to walk down that road with you. And for our listening audience, please pay attention. 504-260-9265 and engage with us. We'd love to hear your take on this. This is an important topic. There was also something else that happened. Post-Katrina, and as I sit back and I think, the same level of assault that happened on the public school system also was an opportunity on government agencies and city agencies that had access to billions of dollars, especially post-recovery.
That's right.
So the move was, and for listen real close out there, the reason why we have the disparities are greater now is because when these outside entities started to raid these public coffers and these and these public agencies, they knew that there would be billions and millions of dollars in recovery dollars. To eliminate your local representatives, to eliminate community people from serving on these boards, to eliminate strong African American men and women's voices, who may have been elected by the people, it was an easier path for them, but these big multinational corporations, many that came in.
Boy, you're bringing it.
That once they came in, not only did they suppress African-American economics and participation, many of the white local firms that had worked and had relationships here working with the black community, they were locked out too. So what Jeff is doing, when Jeff paints this picture here about what happened, guys, what we're seeing right now is that billions of dollars could pass through this town, and billions of dollars could not have an impact on this town because the structure that was set up was post-Katrina was so that the money would not trickle down, trickle sideways, or quick trickle across to the people in this community to benefit their business, to benefit them, and to benefit their family. Now, the few who may have been positioned to take advantage of it because of their political relationships, because maybe they were the one that were blessed by the man or the people in the community, there were not enough there were not enough to create the type of buffer and the type of economic equity that would erase and eliminate the major disparities we have now. I just wanted to give that back.
Bedazzlingly incompetent Mayor Mitch Landrieu was behind most of that scheme. Yeah, but thank you so much for bringing that up, because that's extremely important. You want to take a call?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
Line one, Brother Shedrick, you're on with OT. Jeff Thomas and the Early Bird.
Good morning. I love that the phrase you put to the former mayor, and I would add this. If the former mayor, Mr. Landrieu, was Ray Nagin, he would be in jail. But because his paint job is a little lighter or whiter, he's not in jail, and ain't nobody pretty much saying anything. I agree with you. I don't know why we keep supporting this current governor who does not support the people of New Orleans. And we need to put some pressure on our congressperson, our state legislators, and some of the city council members that just thinks he's the best thing since cheese. He is not doing nothing for us, but he's governor because of our votes. And y'all have a good weekend.
Thank you, Cedric.
You're right. I agree with him 100%. And so, getting back to the Sewage and Water Board. So now we have this situation where and why are we talking about this? Because, you know, I think people know that there's an election next Saturday, December 8th. But on that ballot, most people are unaware, is a Sewage and Water Board charter change.
Put council representative back.
They want to put council members back, not three.
One.
Only one. And it doesn't have to be a city council member. It's up to the chair of the utilities committee.
We could put Jeff Thomas on that board.
You can't put Jeff Thomas. It has to be, if it's not a city council person, mm-hmm. it could be either the chair or his appointee.
Okay.
It could be a civil engineer.
Near. Okay.
And I'm not a civil engineer.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And there's no way that I could be on the Sewage and Water Board. But I think it's important that people understand what happens when they go in and that's part of it. But there are some other things that happen. If there are other dominoes, other levers that take place if you vote yes to put a city council member back on.
I want to get back to the importance of our discussion earlier, though. When you talk about the disparities and you talk about what happened post-Katrina, is that this mayor, this council, this water board, right, this airport board, this dock board, this Superdome Exhibition Hall Authority board, all of these boards have an opportunity to right the wrongs that happened post-Katrina. When we were raped and raided of billions of dollars of recovery, right? When many local firms, minority firms, and women-owned firms, not only were they compromised, right? They were locked out of participating in a meaningful enough way to help grow our entrepreneurial class and grow our middle class and eliminate what we see are the major disparities that operate right now, even in the environment of the face of what we call a city that is producing and making more millionaires and producing more money where people are benefiting than many cities in America. So right now, our mayor has to be more conscious. Our board has to be more conscious. Our city council has to be more conscious, because not only are you not paying catch up, you're trying to dig your people and your community out of a hole that's almost covered up.
I can't wait to talk more about that after the
break.
We'll
be back after the break.
Oh, thank you, brother. You're putting it out there this morning.
WBOK, New Orleans.
You're listening to The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. Man, let's get back to the line. Lines are lit up, man. Line two, Big Sedge. You're on with Jeff Thomas making a sink O.T.
Hey,
in the Early Bird.
Mr. Jeff Thomas.
What's up?
Thank you for the information, because I didn't know about the sewage and water board thing.
But that means
I got more homework to do. I can go on there's an app, Go Vote, the GEAUX Vote.
Mm-hmm.
If you have that app, it tells you everything. Gives you phone number of elected officials.
Yes, that's right.
Tells
really?
You where you go vote at. Right. Tells you what you're voting on and all that.
Go
stuff.
Vote. Go Vote.
I didn't know that. But, thank you for sharing that with me.
Sewage and water board.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to the 300 jobs?
Yeah.
They're waiting to privatize.
They're waiting for people from out of town.
It's a lot of waste, man. You know, but maybe this will help with, you know, somebody from the city council getting somebody a citizens advisory board. You need more than one person. You need the sheriff's shake it up a little bit. And because what about this too? If you know, and it's all season mm-hmm. because they bring the water to us, right?
Right.
The water. How many times we had that borough water advisor?
Oh, don't even talk about mm-hmm. that, man. The borough water advisor is in the outages
first
now.
They blame it on the towers, right? Then the next thing they say, well, you know, the water that the generator we could use to bring the drinking water to you, that's the emergency generator. We got that from Congress through the Corps of Engineers. We ain't supposed to be using it on the regular, but it's emergency, and we're using it anyway. Man, what's wrong? And guess what? It only operates from 44 degrees up. Mm-hmm. So anytime right. we get below 44 degrees, we going to get that funny-looking water I used to wonder why we get all the time.
Mm. Well, I'm about to
put a whole house water filter on my house, man.
Anytime you below 44, it's another F like the one that starts 4. So, Big Sam,
he's right.
Big Sam, we appreciate you, man. Thank you as always, man.
Let me just say this about what Sid said and what everybody's saying. The Sewage and Water Board is absolutely the most important
We can't live here without it.
Without us being able to drink clean water
right.
and pump out
absolutely.
All of this rainwater and wastewater.
Absolutely.
We have no city. And if the city goes under, it literally goes under because we can't pump out the water, then the state is soon to follow.
Lines are lit up, man.
Go
Let's
ahead,
get back to the lines.
Calls.
Line one, Brother Seiko Peace, you're on with Jeff Thomas, OT and Early Bird.
Good morning, brothers, man. Y'all right on time, brother. Hey, Brother Jeff, I read your blog about the toilet being flushed in them hotels downtown,
yes.
brother.
That's right. That's
yes.
right.
All that water they use and everything. You know what, OT, man, you're right on time, but you have a lot of working now in city government, bro, and state government. You got to start speaking out more strongly because I think you could influence these local black elected officials, man. Yeah. This thing was hollowed out when the white power was structured in New Orleans. I've been saying this, bro. Mm-hmm. When the white power was structured, realized that they were going to have a black mayor's post-19 civil rights movement, you understand what I'm saying? They started stripping the city of the real essence of the city controls back to the white community through those different boards and stuff. You talk about the board commission.
Absolutely, all the time.
That's and right. our people be voting their behind off, and they vote for hollowed out government, and the Negro politicians. Said the Redman should be on top of something like
Great
this,
point.
Bro. He mm-hmm. representing this city, man, black community. These politicians, Negro politicians, stand up and represent black people. Just like you were saying about Maynard Jackson in Atlanta, right?
Yep.
We're going to build this airport with black labor and black people going to benefit, or we're not going to have an airport at all.
Absolutely.
You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
We have to take those hard line positions, bro.
No doubt.
But and another thing, I want Jeff to tell me, check out Home Bank, HB. They got signs all over the place. They bought up. How the hell they got all these lots and they're building these houses back in my neighborhood and other parts of the city? I see them up on Claiborne, St. Bernard Avenue.
What's it called, Seiko?
They got signed where they got these
Charles
lots.
Elam.
Build these houses up, brand new houses in a different, they call it like they say, filling. And now they're selling these houses to whites, man. We done been jacked, bro, big time. And in the black, I get frustrated, bro. When the average black adult knew I got to step up and become knowledgeable about what the hell is going on around them and not be caught up in this Mardi Gras nonsense and the saints and everything, bro.
Thank you.
And you said earlier about the schools. If you go to these around these Harmony Oaks and Columbia Park, and all those damn jobs is Latinos and whites is doing the landscape, and doing the repair, doing the maintenance, everything, bro.
You're right, Seiko. Thank you. You said
Thank
that's
you,
Home Bank. Home Bank, you said, Seiko?
Yeah, check out Home. I know you're good at researching, digging down deep. This name and this bank just popped up in the last maybe 5-6 years.
I'm
and I
check started
noticing this sign was all over, especially in Gentilly.
Gentrification capital of the city.
One time on TV, it was two white males talking about, deal with Home Bank. They didn't bought a lot of, how they got all them damn lots. You remember when you remember this. Right after Katrina, how these churches got all these lots with the city. What is that? What was that in the group that gave all these lots to these different church religious organizations? Remember that?
Nora. Yeah, right. Nora.
Look at Nora. Hey, Jeff, do something. Look at that again, bro.
I will.
They got all these lots, and look like they gave them, they sold them some kind of way. to these different real estate agencies, and the real estate agent take them and redeveloping, and then sell them for astronomical amount of money. And it was formerly black World War II and Korean veterans who had those houses in those neighborhoods. I know this neighborhood back here, and all them black men had died off, and their families some kind of way got finagled out of them, or maybe they sold them. I don't know. But that's a story, right?
These boards and commissions are extremely important. I don't know why any elected officials allows people to continue to serve that doesn't have a relationship with your agenda, that doesn't have a relationship with your transition, doesn't have a relationship with your administration. It's not being mean. It just makes sense. Why would you allow someone to continue to lead a board, to sit on a board, whether it's the airport, whether it's the sewage and water board, whether it's the tiddlywinks board,
and spending our tax dollars.
We just saw some board members rail up against the mayor.
Right.
If I put you on a board, if I allow you to continue to serve on a board, you know, you're not going to have your own agenda. You're going to support the people's agenda, an agenda that I have on behalf of the people. Period.
A lesson from Donald Trump, maybe?
Hey, look, when we have power, we want to be fair.
That's right.
When they have power,
they exercise
their power.
Mm-hmm.
Line two, Kev, you're on with OT and Early Bird.
Hey, I just want to thank you guys for putting in your parts to get some solutions here.
Thank you, Kev.
This is frustrating to me, man. I've been listening to the same ever since I was a child, trying to figure out, well, what is this thing, me being black, and what it is that we're going through. I've been listening to the same conversation ever since I was a child. Mm-hmm. It's like either we can't learn, we won't learn, we morally bankrupt, or we just straight up lazy as a people. Mm-hmm. How is it that I can understand this and the rest of us can't? If no one else is going to help me to do something, and it doesn't take me very long to figure out if you're going to help me, because as soon as I need help and I ask you for help and I express that you ask for help and you don't help me, at that point I have to realize I still have these needs, so, and I don't have everything I need, so I better gather up, marshal all the resources I do have, the few resources I have, and try to patch together a solution to what no one else would seem to be helping me with. And we know it because I hear people talking about it, historically speaking, for the last 400 years they haven't helped us. In fact, not do we talk about they're not helping us. They talk about how they tear down the little resources we do marshal and start building. So why do we keep talking about this over and over, and expecting people to respect us like we have some semblance of a brain rattling around in our head when we still continue to do this? We cannot. I would not expect people to think I'm sane or they're going to think I'm dense if I keep doing the same thing over and over. And they should not. And, of course, they're going to handle me like that.
Thank you.
Until our leadership, and no, when I say our leadership, I'm talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about people who talk in this crap that
man
I'm talking about right now.
Man in the mirror.
Until we get together with each other and so putting our due diligence together to do stuff in a workman type manner and create what we're talking about we need at the level that we can create it, we are just spinning in the wind. And if 400 years of spinning in the wind having the same conversation, if you don't get it done, that's why those people think we're stupid.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate you. The American dream has had a disastrous effect on poor people, people of color, and especially black folk and women in many cases. The American dream has distorted their ability to think rationally, their ability to be reasonable, and their ability to deal with reality. I talk to folk every day who would rather chase a dream than fight hard and discipline themselves and take advantage of a hardcore reality. Now, the reality is one size does not fit all. Mm-hmm. Everybody's not going to be Albert Einstein. It doesn't mean that you can't study and work hard. But the American dream, right, and the falsehood around the dream, the way it operates in under globalization and disaster capitalism today, people need to keep it real. People need to look in the mirror. You need to be your own solution. You need to control and be disciplined about your finances, about what happens with your business and your family. The American dream does not exist anymore. If the American dream still exists, 1% of the people wouldn't control more than 55% of the funds and the resources. 1% of the people would not have more resources in this country than 98% of everybody else, if there was still any semblance of an American dream.
OT, you're so right. And let me just say, based on what you're saying, what the caller just said, here's something we can all do. We can all call the governor's office. The phone number is 225-342-7015. That's 225-342-7015. That's the governor's telephone number. Tell the governor to support the city of New Orleans.
Absolutely.
Tell the governor we need the tax dollars redirected here. We need for infrastructure, for
infrastructure.
The sewage and water board.
We need some of those infrastructure.
The sewage and water board is a creation of the state of Louisiana.
I have not forgotten when the toilets were backing up on hotels, and water lines were breaking and busting in the middle of Canal Street and Porges and those streets downtown. Mm-hmm. That's why that basin is under Confederate consent decree. Mm-hmm. I have not forgotten that.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor has made a sound argument. That makes sense.
Absolutely, positively. I support the mayor 100%.
That makes sense.
Absolutely.
We need
positively.
To get behind it. We need to make sure that the goose that lays the golden eggs, that gas isn't just being passed on us, that we're getting a chance to participate with the egg.
And people need to get involved, and it's a simple thing to do. 225-342-7015.
Line one, Brother Rip, you're on with OT, the early bird, and Mr. Think504.com.
Yes, sir. I would like to say good morning to Thomas.
Good morning.
Thomas.
So
in that concept,
thank you.
What I would like to indicate, Brother Jeff, is that we're making tremendous strides in terms of the development of the Governor Nicholas Street Wharf TCI that presently have the contract that's keep them in operation, is presently moving down there by the Industrial Canal down there with Florida Avenue and that area. You can always see those big old white super sacks to show that they're moving their PVC out there. So what I would suggest is the fact that we are working on a memorandum of understanding with the University of New Orleans to create a paradigm shift to be able to teach maritime commerce so that people can learn the pathway to learn how to make money off of the water. And we are proposing a New Orleans Maritime History Museum. And that would be in collaboration with the University of New Orleans, the Port of New Orleans, and the City of New Orleans. And thus we will indulge with the National Park Service so that we can be authenticated through the archaeologist department of everything that we do is authentic and truthfully and historically correct. Now, the very law that we're using, Public Law 103433, Title 11, Lower Mississippi Delta Region Initiative, was written by Lindy Boggs. It's a Louisiana person who wrote a Louisiana law. She wrote that law at the same mm-hmm. time that she wrote John Lafitte National Historical Park and Preserve to deal with saving the French Quarter when we're talking about running the tunnels through and destroying it. And she also wrote the law for Bayou Sauvage as a national park. She created Title 10 that was coming out of California and attached Title 11, which I'm working a Lower Mississippi Delta Region Initiative, to Title 10. And she created Title 12, which is New Orleans Jazz National Historical Park.
Absolutely.
And that's where Ellis and Civil and Armatones and all of them was on the board. But after Katrina, National Park Service took that over, and they put it down there by the net. So the people need to understand the true power of the public law and thus demand that our federal officials come to New Orleans and generate revenue for us based upon all of the federal projects that we have that we are not benefiting through federal funds. We don't benefit from Bayou Boulevard. We don't benefit from Bayou Bienview when they tow that wetland up. They got other areas where we're not benefiting because we're not conscious of the $1.4 billion that the state is receiving for coastal restoration.
Yeah.
Coastal restoration is also means the destruction of the wetlands that we see when we come in.
Thank you,
it's
Brother
also
Rip.
Got forest money in there. We got trees all out in the league and out there in the east. That money is available when we get federal officials to be responsive to us. They are the ones that also deal with the governor and everything is naked. So Kennedy, Casey, Steve Scalise, and Cedric Richmond all represent represent New Orleans, and New Orleans need to put its foot down and demand that federal officials come and meet with us and deal with that. So we are trying to create that situation under the power of the University of New Orleans to invite them to meet with the president of the University of New Orleans and the citizens of New Orleans. So this is where I'm at.
Thank you.
And I'm hoping that, you know, that your outlet will begin to start looking at the public law, start seeing the walls as a probable economic infusion, especially from in-voting and exporting, everything no more than educationally.
Thank you. There's major opportunities there for that. I just got a text from David Terry, who over social media, who talks about that, you know, if nothing else, we're talking about a lot of the solutions, whether it's what's happening with the wharf and the African slavery music. We need to do this for our children. Sarah LeBlanc Goffman, one of our great teachers, kids in the library right now, looking and listening to discussions like this. Our teachers and our great educators are trying to prepare our children. Prepare them for what? Mm-hmm. If our leaders are not doing what needs to be done to make sure that resources are getting back to our kids, mm-hmm. getting back to our families, and supporting local businesses, then we're definitely not doing it for our children. Folk are just doing it for themselves.
Exactly right. And look, to Brother Riff's point, I think he's bringing up exceptionally great points. We need to utilize the rules and regulations, the laws that are on the books that can benefit us.
Absolutely.
And so we need to turn those dollars into our community. Somebody said, I think it was yesterday, they're not coming to help us. Nobody's coming to help us. We've got to do this
ourselves. Didn't the convention center give millions of dollars to an already wealthy family and wealthy entrepreneurs for a school?
Mm. Did that just happen?
Exactly right. So why not target the Slave Ship Museum.
Exactly right.
And we all know that cultural and ethnic tourism is one of the fastest growing parts of the tourism world. Period. Billions of dollars.
Right.
So what's wrong with dedicating millions of dollars for the African slave ship, or to the wharf there?
Particularly because it's going to be a self-aggrandizing project.
You're going to make money.
Exactly right.
Let's go back to the lines, money. Man. Lines are lit up, man.
Go.
Line 2, Reverend Calhoun. Thank you for holding.
Good morning to these Thomas boys, because y'all seem to be a little hot under the collar this morning.
Man, we just love y'all, man.
That's right.
That's all.
What's up, Rev? How you doing?
There's a couple things here that other than phoning the governor's office, mm-hmm. What other solutions are out there? Have there been a meeting of our elected body to sit down and have a real conversation as to what's going on?
Let me tell you what used to happen a long time ago. Okay, we can say what we want about the old political organizations and all the old alphabets and some of the old political leaders. So
right.
I think folks been trying to bury them and get rid of them too quick. Right, there was some value.
No,
the one thing they used to do was they would meet around common agendas. You tell me the last time an elected leader called a group of African-American elected officials together, period, just to caucus and talk about some of the social or economic ills in our community. I can tell you, because I was in part of those meetings. I sat in the meetings in Jackson Avenue. I sat in those meetings in the lower 99th Ward. When African-American political leaders who folk thought were fighting each other would come together around a common issue. Somebody tell me the last time some major elected official called a meeting like that.
In those organizations. And when the leadership changed, that's what changed with that mindset. See, I want to just go back to Brother Rip's point.
Mm-hmm.
They've been working on Florida Avenue now for, what, about 5 years?
Since the Louisiana Purchase was part of Florida.
All right. So now explain to me, why has not anybody given us an understanding of what that project is and what's the purpose behind it?
You're going to get the understanding when the project is let and a consultant, a contractor is already picked and the workers are getting ready to start.
Then again, there's monies out there for coastal restoration.
Absolutely.
Bayou Sauvage is not included in none of this. It makes me wonder just exactly what's happening in our community, as if we are deliberately being left out, either that or our local elected body does not really know what's going on.
Thank you, man. Here's part of the problem with our elected officials.
Here's part of the problem. To get elected, you need money. And the people who give our candidates money, generally don't look like you and I. And because of that, they are beholden to those interests. And so that's why we don't have those meetings anymore, because we can leverage, we can have a hot dog giveaway and a turkey giveaway and leverage votes.
But what about playing good cop, bad cop? If you want to be the nice Negro, mm-hmm. if you want to be the nice elected official, if mm-hmm. you want to be the nice Democrat or Republican, whatever you want to be, what about putting a voice on a board or a voice on an agency where you can play off of that voice?
Well, exactly.
I mean, what about having a strategy?
Well, I think that's part of the problem. The problem is that our elected officials have been hamstrung because they are tied to the people that gave them money to get elected. And so the phone call they get is not, they don't answer the call from Joe Blow, from Jeff Thomas. They answer the call from big money donor guy. And so that they have a limited amount of time. And until we start applying pressure, and the way you apply pressure is you call them. This is what happens. If you flood their phones, if you start calling their phones, then all of a sudden they think, uh-oh, something's going on. The people are upset. You're going to take this call? Go ahead.
We could definitely. All I know, we've created an environment in this town. And let me say this. The disparities are continuing to grow. Unless something is done immediately to stop and reverse that trend, we have not seen the worst of it.
And so,
and there are too many dollars that are passing through this town.
That's right.
They're not even staying with qualified white firms.
That's
they're
right.
not even staying with qualified Louisiana firms.
That's right.
Something different has to be done. The governor's way of thinking has to be different. The mayor's way of thinking has to be different. The council, these boards and agencies that are allowing these major corporations to rape us and raid us, it has to stop.
Exactly right, OT. You are 100% right. You want to get that call?
Line one, Lee. You're on with OT. You're on with JT in the early
504. I think what the problem is that, number one, our officials, like you said, are beholden to those people who give the money. Second, the governor cannot win without New Orleans. Mm-hmm. That's for certain. And also, as the New Orleans goes, so goes the states. Money is taken out of New Orleans and passed around the state.
That's right.
For things. And just as New Orleans East, money is taken out of New Orleans East property taxes and passed around the city.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
You know, our thing is, you know, you have to stand up. You have to stand up and come up with a strategic action plan and put it into fruition. And that plan would involve not 25, 30 people, but a group of people who can gather together and have certain discrete points and give them an ultimatum. Either you do this or the following is not going to happen for you, or we are going to take our tax monies and we're going to take our ball and go run somewhere else.
Lee, let me say this, and this is the reason why Jeff and I spent so much time on this, and I spent so much time the last couple of weeks since the mayor came out and challenged the tourism community and asked the state to take a look at redistributing some of those funds, especially in the height of this season, especially while they're doing so well. Our infrastructure is at a critical crossroads right now. Folk like me remember when the toilets were backing up in the hotels downtown,
yes.
and those pipes were breaking. Was it last year, year before, the 13-foot crater at the foot of Poydras in Canal?
That's
so,
right.
So whether you like the mayor or not, she is on to something. This is an opportunity, if nothing else, to attach some of those funds to something that benefits, that's tangible, not going into the black hole or general fund,
that's right.
but going to projects that not only support
right.
the city,
the most
but support the tourism industry.
Right. The most important thing that the city has.
Have to be earmarked and demanded that they be
absolutely
earmarked. And that's the problem. Additionally, I just want to say, you don't have anybody that I can see right now that will say, hey, this is not going to happen unless you do this. Like the issue with the guy who told us, your friend, I'm going to do just what it needs to be
done. I'm going to do what's required. Correct.
It's not going to happen. You don't have that. You don't have
right.
a person with enough guts to stand up. You certainly don't have enough politicians or people representing you to make those statements and to demand, hey, this is not going to happen if this doesn't happen.
Well, let me say this. Look, we got a whole lot of issues. But the one that's on the table, and like I tell folks, whether you like the mayor or not, whether you support her or not, she's given us an issue to rally around.
Absolutely.
We are creating billions of dollars of passing through this town through the goose that lays the golden egg.
Continuously.
We love our tourism industry, right? We love to host people. Then why, what is wrong with, and I said it before, what is wrong with the governor and the legislature and the tourism industry? What's wrong with them breaking us off?
You know, you have to give these people an ultimatum, and you have to follow through on your promise. That is, it is not going to happen if you don't get this support, if you don't get your percentages back to the city. Given the city of this size and this magnitude and this importance in the whole world, 15 cents on a tourist dollar?
Man, if I'm not going to be for me, why should I expect somebody else to be for me? We love you, Lee, man. We appreciate you, man. Look. We got an issue on the table right now that this city needs to rally around.
Absolutely. And listen, if black, white, rich, poor, it doesn't matter.
Oh, it doesn't matter your race or what neighborhood you live in.
That is
absolutely
city.
Correct.
This is an issue that and all of us.
It is not about being against the tourism industry. Mm-hmm. It is not about telling them to do with their dollars. It is about asking them, but even begging them, imploring them, cajoling them, break us off of.
Do the right thing.
Break us off a little piece, right?
Because, listen, break they have blood off. On their hands. They have blood on their hands if they don't. Let me tell you, all of these murders, all of this crime is a result of not having living wages. It's a result of tax dollars being siphoned away from the city, and we have not been able to adequately take care of the needs of the citizens of this city. And so we have this high crime rate, and I'm telling you, crime is related to tourism, and you can do, and when we come back, I can talk about
Absolutely.
That. I'm looking forward to it. I know we got to go to break. And
we're going to go to break, man. Let's not forget, man, one of the great pastors, one of our wise men in this town, Watson Memorial Teaching Ministries, invites you to celebrate their 30th pastoral anniversary. Bishop Tom Watson and his great wife, First Lady Pastor Pat Watson, worship experience this Sunday at 4400 St. Charles Avenue. Man, let's support the people who support us. Everybody have a wonderful day. We're going to take our break, guys. When Jeff comes back, we're going to finish these topics that matter. We'll be back after the break.
WBOK, New Orleans.
You're listening to The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. Welcome back to the Good Morning Show, 8:35 a.m. in the morning. The Good Morning Show brought to you by United Healthcare, quality, affordable healthcare coverage. Don't leave home without it, man. We want to thank Ms. Hill and Ms. Horton Richards yesterday, man, for, look, Medicaid, Medicare. Let somebody help you figure that piece out, man. You may be leaving some benefits and some opportunities on the table. Call your United Healthcare representative. We want to thank the Greater New Orleans Marketing Tourism Commission. We want to help everybody, man, who sponsors, man, puts up a dime, a nickel, Women on the Move. The Gus Housing, Ms. Wiggins, Attorney Donatus King, Charbonnet Pharmacy, H&W, all of those people who bought ads and buy your real estate from Harukay. And we want everyone who's thought enough of this station and its purpose to invest in it. God bless you these holidays, man. I wish that we could we were personally in a position to do something for you or call each of you out. Our families, all of us here at Bakewell Media, all of us here at WBOK, Jeff Thomas, all of the contributors, we appreciate everybody who's invested in understanding it, this station, whether it's me, whether it's Chuck, whether it's Kendra, whether it's all of our other show hosts and all of our management. We love you. We appreciate you. And look, let's not forget one more time, man, 30 years of celebrating one of the most successful ministries in this city. Watson Memorial Teaching Ministries is having their pastoral anniversary this Sunday. Bishop Tom Watson and First Lady Pastor Pat Watson. Please, the worship experience is this Sunday at 10 a.m., 4400 St. Charles Avenue. One of our great wise men, he gives back to us. Let's make sure we're supporting him and First Lady Pat Watson. God
love
bless
Bishop
you for that.
Watson. Love Bishop Watson.
Jeff.
Yes, sir.
The other day I had, man, fantastic candidate.
I heard
fantastic,
it.
Fantastic. Gwen Collins-Greener.
I heard her.
Man,
I was surprised.
She's got more degrees than
right.
than some universities.
Right.
Qualified.
Yes.
She played the nice role.
She did.
You know, she didn't want to come down on anybody that's not supporting her.
Mm-hmm.
But how can we talk about being progressive? How can we talk about supporting the Democratic way? How can we talk about supporting progressive, qualified women when this woman, who her opponent has been dodging her because she can't out, he can't out debate her.
Right.
This woman who with $5 and a bunch of friends
right.
shook up the world and made the runoff.
That's right.
Many of our major elected officials, African Americans, are not supporting her.
Hmm.
The governor has said he's staying out of the race.
Yeah.
You're gonna need black females in your, so Democrats eat their own. Republicans don't. Look, Donald Trump is doing everything he can, not only to destroy America, but to destroy the Republican Party. But they ain't gonna abandon him. They're gonna stick with him. They're gonna go down on the ship with him. Democrats don't do that.
It's a shame. Let's paint a little bit broader picture.
Okay.
If you step back and say, listen, there's not a Democrat elected in the state of Louisiana except for the governor.
Statewide.
Right. And he won in a perfect storm race against a flawed candidate, mm-hmm. which we said multiple times on your mm-hmm. show. But she has an opportunity because she's running against a flawed candidate. This guy is mired in the Tom Shetler. He was director of HR when Tom Shetler was involved.
You're right in the middle of harassment
scandal. Exactly
right.
And he said, just stay out of his way. Don't do anything. Just be a good old girl. And so secondarily, even more, he is involved in a major fraudulent contract for voting machines. Now, you know, it is, in my mind, mind-blowing that with a flawed candidate, that the governor, who is only elected because of black support and running against a flawed candidate, because of these things, you would think that he would have some compassion and understanding and see himself in her eyes, in her vision.
But what about the press conference for all of the African-American Democratic elected officials,
mm-hmm.
the press conference that ought to be in front of the Supreme
That's
Court
right.
on the steps of City Hall, mm-hmm. where they all pledge their support mm-hmm. and they all write a campaign check mm-hmm. to Gwen Collins Rita?
Sure.
Greena.
Absolutely.
Well, what about that press conference?
Listen,
what about that initiative?
They're running for re-election, and they see her as not being able to win.
They're already elected, though.
But they all want to be re-elected, particularly the governor. And so he understands that he's got to peel off some conservative vote. He doesn't want to go against conservatives in the state. So he is sacrificing this lady who he thinks probably.
But what is the governor afraid of? He's done a good job. Look, whether you like him a lot, we differ on some of these decisions.
Yeah, that's right.
But he's done a credible enough job that he deserves the opportunity to be reelected.
Sure.
But,
and he can say, I'm a Democrat. She's a Democrat. She's a fine
that's
lady.
That's an easy one.
I'm voting for her.
That's easy.
Yeah, exactly right. But that he doesn't makes this is what gives me pause with this governor. This is part of the problem. This is why another reason I wrote this article. And let me tell you, I got a lot of not flack, but pushback from some of my friends saying, well, you're saying we should abandon the governor. Well, what's the alternative? Who can we look at? Well, if the governor
isn't
not,
that always the excuse?
It's always the excuse. But
do you want Satan or Lucifer?
Right. Look, the devil you know is always better than the devil you don't know. But I tell you one thing. This devil is not doing, he's not doing great things for us. He's abandoning the city. And if he abandons the city, he abandons Collins Greenup, he abandons the Democratic Party, then why should we work with him? Why should we support him? I'm saying that we need to put pressure on this governor, call his office and say support Collins Greenup and support the city.
But why is it always the Democratic elected official
mm-hmm.
and too often the African-American elected official who says, hey, man, you know what?
Mm.
We got to settle for less.
Right.
Right?
Right.
We can't expect too much.
Mm.
So we have to take whatever we can get.
Mm.
Now, when I gave the example before, who's doing – I mean, look, Trump has walked into the middle of the Republican Party with body bombs on, right? He's got IEDs up his butt, in his nostrils.
Right.
He's ready to blow them all up.
Uh-huh.
But right. they're not going to abandon
no,
him.
They're going to be with him.
They're going to be with him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because they think that he can deliver. And that's what I don't think. They don't think that this lady can deliver anything. I don't think people believe in her. People don't think that she is going to be able to deliver. She's going to be able to win.
She was sharp, man.
I like her.
She's got more degrees than some universities.
I was surprised by her. I'd never heard her talk before, except for on your show. And it illuminated things for me, and it changed my perspective on her. Go ahead.
Let's go to the lines. 504-260-9265. Line 1, Miss Alicia, you're on with Jeff T.O.T. in the early bird. God bless you, Lita.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, OT. And good morning to Ronnie Gokuzan.
Hey, Alicia. How you doing?
I'm good. Y'all got me so fired up when you talk about the governor says he's going to stay out of it. He's going to be neutral.
Yes.
How are you going to be neutral? You're a Democratic governor.
Right.
You got a Democrat running in the race.
Bingo. Mm-hmm.
And you say you're going to be neutral, you're going to stay out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, next year, you're going to be expecting all Democrats.
You don't want us to be neutral.
To support you.
That's right.
I'm so sick of this lopsided stuff. I'm just so sick of this.
Well, you're right, Alicia. I agree with you 100%. And this is what I'm saying.
Like you said in the beginning, though, Jeff, it's going to be hard-pressed for me to give him my vote for several reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, the first thing he said he was going to do is get rid of John White as the state superintendent.
He still didn't happen.
Then he got Buffalo to tell me he can't do it. Yes, you can.
Sure.
When you're playing a role of power tricks, you either going to leave or I'm not going to do some things that you want to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And that Black Lives Matter, that unconstitutional amendment that he did.
You mean Blue Lives.
Blue Lives.
A
right.
whole
Blue Lives.
Different protected class that is not covered under the Constitution with that Blue Lives Matter.
Right.
I could care less about John Bel Edwards, but this stuff has to stop. You're not going to support this Democrat, but then you're going to demand that we black folks, we Democrats, are supposed to support you next year.
Wow, thank you.
I think we all need to call the governor's office.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
I think we need
God
to call the
you.
Governor's office, guys.
I agree. Thank
you.
Y'all have a good one.
You too.
You
God
too.
Bless
thanks,
you.
Alicia.
God bless you much. I don't know who's advising the governor. I don't know, especially given the age of so much uncertainty politically right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be advising him the way his high-paid advisors are.
Right.
You don't lose anything. You can only gain.
That's right.
If you increase participation amongst the people who already support you, then you negate whatever they do on the other side because they're not going to be with you anyway.
That's
so
right.
It's simple mathematics, Governor.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of the people who take care and you want to take care and who took care of you.
Exactly. Got him in office.
Jeff, I know you got to go, man, before you break.
7015. I think everybody should call. We got a couple of things we can talk about. He should support Collins Greenup, and he should support diverting tax dollars,
absolutely,
tourism tax dollars.
For the infrastructure.
To the city of New Orleans for sewage and water board improvement.
Hey, man, are you going to come back before Christmas, man, or how before the end of the year?
I hope so. If you guys let me, I'll be here.
I want you back. We want to do some end of the year wrap-up with Think 504.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And how can people support Think 504?
Go to think504.com. There's a contact us page. You can email me there. People, Brother Sekou emails me all the time. All kinds of people who hear me email me. I respond directly to all emails. It may take me a while because I get a lot, but I promise you I'll respond to you. I'm looking forward to people going to think504.com.
If you're not thinking for yourself,
then somebody else is thinking for you.
We'll be back after the break.